WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Tang from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you
and it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you, and we are aware it is not a Thursday night. We know that. It is a Saturday night, and normally we would be playing Fortnite right now, but Fortnite had an event earlier, and so it's down. But NXT had an event, and we should talk about it, and it's NXT In Your House. So joining me for that is the ever-faithful co-host, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. We're doing a thing. You tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RockRadioShow, Ellen Warren. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or twitch.tv/WTRLive to come talk about NXT In Your House, the latest premium live event for the NXT brand. And it was a show.
It was a show.
It was, in fact, a show. But we're not alone. We also have an intern.
Hailing from the corner, the assistant to the assistant regional analyst, the intern, Kane Kittens.
Human world, it's a bore. Everybody's working all the time. It's a chore. No one understands. Wanna know.
What? You guys took me captive and brought me here on a Saturday. Why?
You're always here on a Saturday.
But normally I'm shooting things and then having to get rezzed.
Well,
I mean, to be fair, we did shoot things earlier and we did have to get rezzed earlier and now we're here.
I mean, fair enough.
But we saved reality. Brett and I, we saved reality together. We should get a medal.
Rock, send us cookies.
I want a medal.
I want a metal-shaped cookie.
So we're here to talk about NXT In Your House, which was the premium live event on the WWE Network. Show kicked off with Tony D'Angelo and his boys taking on Legado del Fantasma. The stipulation on the match was the losing side joined the other side. Thoughts?
It was a match.
Crowd was hot for it.
Well, the crowd was hot for it. I liked the pre-match promo that Tony and the Mafia got.
Yeah.
I thought they did really well on that production. Just a note to the in-arena production staff. If you're going to unfurl banners, make sure they're all connected properly. Because when you saw Legado come out, they unfurl the banners. One is, you know, the Legado logo, mm-hmm. which looks like the NWO.
Or the LWO.
The LWO. And then there's the other banner, which about a third of it fell.
Sometimes when you test it in pre-production, it works. And then when you go on air, it has performance anxiety, so...
I just love because the camera, when the camera was panning over, it's like, it got the full Legado del Fantasma banner, and then it just stopped right before it got to the other one, because they were like, oh god, we can't show that, hang on.
Stage fright, that's all it was, stage fright.
It was foreshadowing, that's it.
So, they had a match. It's pretty solid. I mean, crowd was hot. I don't know. I have nothing. There wasn't a lot to it.
Santos almost had a bad night there for a second.
Explain what happened.
So, we got a dual jumping spot by Del Toro and Wild, where they ran up the corners and jumped out onto the other two stooges. And then Santos geared up, ran off the ropes, and went to dive between the second and first rope, a la Darby Allin. And he must have learned from Darby, because his foot, it's like his entire body made it through the ropes. His feet clipped the bottom rope, and you saw his body just angle down sharply. Luckily, Tony was there to catch him still,
mm-hmm.
but he almost spiked himself because his foot clipped that rope. And it's just, it's especially with NXT, I'm wondering if they need to not do through the rope dives, because that ringside area for NXT is remarkably shorter than we see in like WWE and elsewhere, or, you know, like the main roster and AEW. So it leads to a lot more like, oh god, is he gonna...
Yeah.
But I liked this match. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was good. But it wasn't like, there was nothing standout-ish. We had them check the post for, you know, weapons, and they got rid of the
crowbar.
The crowbar and stuff, and then...
I was gonna say, I like that little touch, because since you have two heel teams, they both were calling each other out, but it didn't work for what I would call the Mafia, because when they were like, go check their corner! The brass knuckles aren't just going to be chilling in the corner, guys.
No, Elektra had
like,
it.
Yeah, you should have checked Elektra. You should have been like, excuse me, come here.
Pat her down and make sure, because the knuckles did play a factor in the match.
Well, they were banking on the fact that she's not going to get patted down, right? Because, you know, it's improper to pat down a lady in public.
But I was going to say, it would have been something for the Mafia group to ask for, because Legado knew she wasn't going to get patted, probably, but if Tony had asked for it, it was something, but instead they were like, check the corner! And it's like, oh yeah, that's not going
to
work.
I mean, I guess what else it kind of lacked was a little bit of heat to it. Like, they did the setup for this week on NXT, where they met on a boat, and basically they were like, or they met at the beach somewhere, and they're like, okay, alright, so we need to settle this between us, we've been fighting, so I tell you what, let's add the stipulation of loser basically works for the winner, right? Like, we're going to do a merger, somebody has to win the merger, so we'll set it up this way.
Yeah. Which
is fine, but there wasn't like any other real stakes to it. There wasn't like this nervous anticipation on like Legato's part or Tony's part, because this led off where it's like, oh god, what happens? Like, what happens basically? What happens if we lose? And it's, well, we're not going to lose. Yeah. Right? Because we're both going to win. Like, you have them kind of build that up a little bit. And I feel like you could have like put a week in between those and built that up and added just a little bit more anticipation to this, but it was fine. It was good. The finish was interesting because you had the weapons get involved, where you had the dude from Legado get smacked with the crowbar and
yeah.
he gets knocked out, and then you have the dude from Tony's group get hit with the brass knucks, and then he falls on top of the dude from Legado. Santos gets pushed out of the ring, and Santos can't get there in time, and 1-2-3
it was Legado the other way around loses. Actually,
oh, I'm sorry, it was the other right way around.
It was the Mafia dude got hit with the crowbar, and he's standing in the corner knocked out, held up by his partner, and then the guy from Legado got hit with the brass knucks from Tony, who had stolen them from Santos, and then the dude from the Mafia just fell on top.
Well, I think his partner pushed him on top of him.
Yeah, just kind of like, go.
Kneeling on top of him.
He missed him, actually. If you watched, he like landed next to him.
And then he readjusted.
Like, he kind of had to just slightly go, I need to throw like my leg. Oh, okay, there.
He scooched. Even though he's unconscious, he scooched. But yeah, it doesn't matter because the end result is the same, which is that Legado del Fantasma loses, and they now work for Tony D'Angelo and family, which Santos sold this like a champ. Like, his reaction to it was fantastic because he was like just the shock on his face where he's like, no, wait a minute.
I don't work for anyone. What are you doing?
No, but yeah, like, this was a good match. This was a fun match. Like, I've enjoyed this feud. I've liked this feud. I think when Legado can get a group that's similar to them and they can work with them, they're at their best. And it's been a while since you had them really at their best because they haven't really had anything to do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they were working with Hit Row and they were doing some really great work with Hit Row, and then Hit Row, everything happened there. And then they've just kind of been drifting along.
Yeah.
And you kind of started stuff with Zion Quinn, but you ended that really quickly. And yeah, so I like this. I thought this was good.
And the skits coming out of it are going to be good.
Yeah, it will be wrestling comedy gold.
We had the NXT Women's Tag Team titles on the line. Toxic Attraction taking on the Kaycees, Katana Chance and Kaden Carter.
Good entrance for the Kaycees.
I was going to say, I mean, it was a rave for the Kaycees when they came out. Woo woo, with their light up shoulder pads and all.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just can't get into Toxic Attraction. They just do nothing for me.
I know. The match was fine. I mean, you could tell that they're kind of, you see the improvement in the former Casey Catanzaro, Katana Chance. They're improving. I mean, it was well wrestled. I mean, I don't know. Nothing stood out, but it wasn't like bad.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say the match was fine, but I feel like the thing that stands out in my mind is the Casey's entrance. It's nothing else about the match.
Yeah.
For me, this just kind of highlights, like, I feel like they're keeping the belts on Toxic Attraction because there's not really a lot else going on in NXT for the tag division.
No, but they just put them. They lost them back at Mania Weekend, so they're back on it now.
Yeah, but they lost it for 2 weeks, though. That's the thing.
Not even, it was 4 days.
Okay, but it's that kind of thing, like...
Yeah, I know.
Like, you feel like if there was a decent enough challenger, that, yeah, they could win. The only reason I picked the Kaycees tonight was because I was like, it would be a change.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. I just think maybe it's not because they don't have anything. It's just, I don't know. I guess they're maybe waiting to, like, SummerSlam to kind of wrap up the whole Toxic Attraction era in NXT, maybe? And maybe go out that way with them all losing belts on the same night?
Maybe.
I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like you're going to have the two girls, I can't remember their names right now.
Jane and Gigi Dolan.
Thank you. Them. You're going to have them lose the top. I was sitting here and I'm like, Jenny, no. Jenny's not right. No, no, no. There's alcohol involved. I'm just telling everybody right now, there's alcohol involved. But anyway, you have the two girls lose the titles first. And then, like, then you have Mandy lose the title. Or you do it the other way around where they somehow cost Mandy the title and you have the group sort of implode, because I can't imagine that the group's all going up together.
I would put them all up together because it works. It's an act that works.
It's an act that works, but I don't know if it's an act that works on the main roster. Like, that's the thing. I don't know if you can get away with that whole Mean Girl shit on the roster.
You may be able to.
Just because it, like, the girls in NXT, you can kind of get away with it because you have all the girls that are in training and they're kind of the background for Mandy being mean, but Mandy goes up to the main roster and you have the girls up there and it's like, they ain't gonna take that shit. They're gonna take one look at her and be like, no, you just sit down. Especially the likes of someone like Becky and Asuka and Charlotte, and I mean, they're not gonna take that.
And also, I think for something like Toxic Attraction going up on the main roster, it may be hard to do like a multi-women faction, because what would the opposition be up there?
You build one.
I know you can,
but who do you
one,
build it out of?
It would be like, okay, you have Asuka, and it would, you could put three people together, but it would always feel like it's kind of thrown together for like a three-person group. Now, they could still run as a faction and not have to do that kind of thing, but I think honestly, if they go up, they're all going up together, because I think if you pull Mandy from that tag team, the tag team kind of gets neutered.
That's what I'm saying, the act works.
But I feel like the tag team's just there to get Mandy over as a singles competitor, and then Mandy goes up on her own. Like, because the one person that I can really think that would go up against Mandy, especially in the onset, would be someone like Sasha. And, well, we don't know what's going on there. Because the only other option I feel like would be like a Becky, just in terms of your sass level.
Well, I mean, Bianca as well.
I would say Bianca and Mandy.
But I'm just saying, there's, you know, options.
There's options, but yeah, I don't see the group going up together. I see them kind of imploding before they go up and Mandy leaves and goes up on her own, or the tag team goes up on their own. You could have them reunite later if you need to, but I just don't see you bringing all three up at once. Because it's all very clearly designed to get Mandy Rose over.
So there you go. The girls retain their titles. Up next, we have the NXT North American Championship on the line. Cameron Grimes taking on Carmelo Hayes. Good match.
Cameron got a special entrance today, but did not do well for him in the match.
No.
When you get that special entrance, sometimes that's the kiss of death.
And there goes your title reign in 3, 2.
To the... No.
He tweeted out, I thought I could do it tonight. And it's like, oh, Cameron. Oh, honey. I mean, he had a good reign. It was...
Yeah, I was going to say that... They gave him the title. They gave him the confidence to be able to be like, okay, you can run with this. And I mean, who knows? Maybe this is a precursor for some bigger things on the horizon, or at least a change of scenery on the horizon, I should say.
Yeah, more of a change of scenery, probably, if anything.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
I mean, because Cameron, bless him, he's gone, I think, as far as he can go in NXT without them putting the main title on him. And it's very clear that's not going to happen. So yeah, it's fine.
But, and he has that kind of personality that I think on the main roster will get fans.
You hope.
I think he has enough of, like, I don't want to say goofiness, but like an endearing quality that the fans will kind of get behind him, as long as, you know, the main roster folk don't decide to do some kind of like, we're going to give him some stupid heel gimmick.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you send him up as he is, as a babyface, with the gimmick he has, you kind of redo a little bit of the $1 million Cameron Grimes stuff, just a little bit with him, I think it will work. If you try to turn him heel, I don't know if that's going to work. Like, I think for people to, because it's like, we all fell in love with the story, right, of Cameron Grimes, because it was so hokey and it was so stupid, but it worked. The fact that Cameron Grimes hit essentially the lottery in the stock market, became a millionaire overnight because of the stocks, and is now Money Man Cameron Grimes, or Million Dollar Cameron Grimes, or whatever you want to call him. And he's done everything that he's done. Like, we all fell in love with that story. And then he cut that really great promo where he was a little bit more serious before he won the North American Championship, where he's like, I didn't want to change because I wanted to hold on to who I am. Mm-hmm. And that was a really, really, really great promo by him. And we know he can do good work. So I feel like if he can make, kind of do something similar on the main roster, make people fall in love with him, it'll be perfect for him.
To answer chat, no, his contract's not coming up. We just figure his time in NXT is coming to an end. He's going to go for the main roster. But this match overall, it was a really good match between the two. It wasn't as like high flying as like the latter match they had. This was more bell to bell, good action between the two.
It played off the story of the fact that these two guys knew each other, and that it was like Cameron was trying to hit the cave-in, and you saw that look from Carmelo's face of like kind of shock and horror of, oh god, and Cameron holding up those fingers like, I'm this close to just nailing it. And yet there was also those, you know, there were great counters throughout. Like when Cameron did the springboard off the ropes with Carmelo, mm-hmm. and everyone mm-hmm. in the crowd just lost their mind.
Yeah, but Carmelo Hayes is your brand new, once again, North American champion.
And go ahead.
I think it's a good call.
I think it works because he has the cockiness to carry that belt, just like he did the first time.
Yeah. All right. Up next, Mandy Rose, Wendy Chu, NXT Women's Championship.
I love Wendy.
I liked Wendy's entrance. I thought it was very creative. It was a little weird, but it was very creative.
Yeah.
Where she was dreaming about beating Mandy Rose, and she's got like a whole bedroom set up on the stage of NXT. And props to her for doing that whole match in a windsuit.
Yeah, and slippers.
Like, the commitment was just there, and I appreciate it so much.
You know, I'll give Wendy credit, or Karen Q, or whatever her name is. because this kind of gimmick, when it first rolled out, I think everyone kind of looked at it and was like, what are we doing with this? Like, okay, she's napping in the background of promo. What's going on? And yet she's taken it and run with it. And honestly, I think the fans at the Performance Center, as we heard tonight, are behind her.
She's completely relatable in every way, shape, and form. And I love that about her, right? Because the gimmick is just basically she likes to sleep and she likes to be comfy and she likes to have fun, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's who she is. That's the gimmick in a nutshell. And we can all relate to that because, you know, as I sit here now, I'm sitting here in my PJ bottoms and a t-shirt and slippers. So, you know, I can completely relate to Wendy Cho's aesthetic on the whole because it's generally what I wear every day, barring when I actually have to leave the house and then, you know, things happen. But if I don't have to leave the house, we are 100% comfortable here. So I like that, especially as the women are trending like more and more sexy. There's Wendy Cho, and she's just out here in her onesies and her pajamas and just doing her thing and having fun and laughing. And I appreciate that about her. And I think a lot of people have connected with that.
Yeah. Overall, the match was fine. I mean, you can see Mandy continues to grow as a performer, and this sort of this match was more of her trying to lead the match, and it kind of worked out pretty all right.
Yeah, I think going down to NXT has done wonders for Mandy.
Yeah.
In that, even though on the main roster, they may have been able to do, like, house shows with her and get her reps, I think being able to go to the Performance Center, work some stuff out, really kind of develop this character. Because I want to, you know, the most traction she got on the main roster was her story with Otis.
Yeah, and also at the same time, they created a character where she's not like a background player. She's not second fiddle to anything. She's actually being able to be a top tier talent, and you get growth with that every time. Just look at all the performers that have in the past where they get a chance to sort of be the top tier performer. It works. They're able to grow as a character, and we've seen her grow.
Mandy has always had the star potential. They just could never find the right fit for her. And that's been part of her problem, is she just never has been able to fit in. So being able to go down the Performance Center, redevelop the gimmick, turn it into something pretty spectacular in terms of being able to stand out, because she'll go back up to the main roster and she will definitely stand out on the main roster. And really being able to hang with the women up there edgewise, I think is really beneficial to her. Like, the whole thing has just been good because, in my opinion, it's like she's always had a star quality to her.
Yeah, she has. But she just needed the gimmick to unleash it.
Yeah, bring it out. And I think that's done it for her. Like we said, going to NXT was absolutely the right call for her, because I don't think they wanted to let go of her. I think it's, we need to figure out how to harness this and develop this and really turn her into something, because she's got it. She's absolutely
She's
got
always
it.
Had it.
Yeah, especially as a heel. Like, she's always been phenomenally good. Like, she was good in the Otis stuff, but she just makes a better heel because she's got that confidence level in her where she's, Brent and I were talking about this earlier after the event, that it's like, there are girls that know that they're hot and they can carry that off because they have the confidence to carry it off. And then there are girls that know that they're hot and then, but they don't necessarily have the same level of confidence to pull it off. Mandy knows she's hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of her ego that she knows that she's gorgeous, that she's stunning. And she plays off of that, and it plays into her confidence, and she can absolutely carry that in terms of, yeah, I know I'm hot. What the fuck are you going to do about it? Nothing. You can't. There's nothing you can do. Deal with it.
You know, there's a perfect example of what we're talking about in NXT right now. And we'll see them on Tuesday night competing in the breakout tournament. Tiffany Stratton.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, Mandy knows that she's, you know, she is the queen bee, and she knows it. And she's going to make sure you know it. But she's gotten that edge in NXT to take it over the top, where it's just like, it's not just the mean girl, it's the mean girl who's going to push you into the locker. Whereas Tiffany is just the pampered, spoiled girl that's just, you know, yeah, she's hot, but that's it.
I feel like with Tiffany, it's harder to connect with her because you don't really know a lot of what she's about. I think they're trying to work on her, like, connectability and resonance, but it's something that with her, it's very Divas to me 2008. That's what it reads, because it's just, I'm pretty, I'm cute, I'm hot, I'm mean, and there's really no depth and there's no substance there. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm sure there is, but it's just, it's very hard to find and it's very hard to see. And that's been my general complaint about NXT for quite a while, is that the characters, while some of the characters are very good and they're very well done, they lack depth. Mandy's character has depth because we've been on that journey with her. Mm-hmm. We've been with her since, for a lot of us, since she was in Tough Enough.
Mm-hmm.
And she was on Tough Enough. And we all know where she came from. Her and Sonya, they're the sole survivors of that era. And they both become successes as a result. Like, they both outlasted the winners.
Yeah.
Which is often the case with Tough Enough. And so we've watched Mandy's growth from Tough Enough all the way to where she is now. So we have a sense of depth with her. We have a sense of story with her. Whereas someone like Tiffany Stratton, her story is just beginning, and we haven't been on that journey with her yet, but she lacks the depth to really want to go on that journey with her sometimes, because it's just like, in a lot of ways, at least for me, it's very difficult to relate to her. It's
especially because she's a heel.
Yeah. It's like, it doesn't, it's one of those things where it's like toxic attraction. It just doesn't do anything for me. It's like, okay, all right, great, moving on.
The funny thing is, I feel more like, Tiffany Stratton's there, and like I said, she's pretty, but I'm just kind of like, okay. I feel more invested with someone that has just started on the roster about 2 weeks ago, because they're already doing something kind of funny and interesting with her. And that's who's the 18-year-old girl? The one that like just graduated high school?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know her name, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you
know
where she was like...
They're doing the promos of like, yeah, I'm just out of high school, and I'm looking forward for my opportunity. And then last week they did... you know, like the mock college selection.
Yeah, and she joined Chase U.
Yeah, and just like Chase U completely selling it. I was just like, okay, I'm excited to see where this goes in the next few weeks.
Yeah, but Mandy Rose, still your champion. Hard fought match.
Mandy's still the fighting champion, and they're going to have, I think when it comes time for that transition to hit, they're going to have like, this is their next big person. It's not going to be just a transitional champ for the women's NXT title. It's going to be, okay, this is the next person we think can carry the full division.
Yeah. Up next, Pretty Deadly defend the NXT tag team titles against the Creed brothers. Bright yellow outfits for the Creeds.
I can't get behind Pretty Deadly. I don't know. I don't know if it's their, like, one-fifth of a shirt that they wear. I don't know if it's their yes boy chant. I just
want my mock romance novel covers at this point. That's all I see is like 1980s, 1990s, like Fabio-esque romance novel cover boys. So, I'm not against it.
I'm not against it. So the Creed brothers are really talented, and they could do wonders as a tag team. But boy, they need a mouthpiece. Whew.
Yeah, losing Malcolm Bivens has hurt them in a lot of ways.
It's gonna hurt them in the end, especially if they want to bring them to the main roster. They need to find them a mouthpiece, because they have all the talent in the world in the ring.
Oh god, I just thought of it.
Hmm.
They joined the Alpha Academy.
No.
Uh-uh.
No?
No, because then you're playing, they need to be the focus. You would lose them with Gable.
True.
I mean, you could bring them up with Dupree, but I don't know if that would work.
They're not male models. That would be more Pretty Deadly. This was a really good, fun tag team match. The Creed brothers finally got their win. Their mom and dad were in the crowd.
It feels a little lost, though.
Yeah, it should have happened at Mania. Like, this win should have happened there. Because it just, I don't know. They were really on the rise there. And then it kind of just simmered off since. But I
damn you, Nash Carter.
Who?
Exactly.
I don't know. A good match. Anything else we need to talk about to add to it?
It's just, I think the problem with the Creeds is they are so fundamentally sound that it's almost at a detriment. Because it just seems like it's been hard throughout WWE to get people that are pure wrestlers over. Shelton was over for a little bit, but he also still had like another kind of quality to him. Brock was just a mauler at all times.
Yeah.
Like Gable and his brother, you know, they seem to have some personality behind them, so that'll help. But it just feels like for the Creeds, it's a, you know, don't get me wrong, I like FTR. I like fundamentally sound people. But at the same time, with the Creeds, I just feel like there's no real personality behind them.
And that's why I say they need a mouthpiece.
Well, they need a mouthpiece, and I think they need to add just a little bit of style in the ring. Because at least with the Steiners, that's the best example I can think of.
Yeah, I can see
that. Like, think of who was the more popular Steiner brother. Was it Rick or Scott?
Yeah, Scott Steiner.
Because he could do, you know, he could do the Steiner...
Actually, I don't know. Rick at times was the more popular one because of the barking.
Well, he had the barking, but I think from when you watched them wrestle, Scott was...
Yeah.
What people gravitated towards.
Yeah.
Because with Rick, you know, he could do some stuff, but it was very much, like, limited to clothesline or suplex or, you know, he had about four moves.
Well, they all had four moves back then.
I know, but at least Scots were flashy.
I guess.
But we now have new NXT Tag Team Champions.
Yeah. Yes, so congratulations to the Grey Brothers. Like I said, it felt a little flat because it is a little late, and they maybe do need a little help with the mic, but I think this is good for them. I think it'll be good for them. They can have, like, what is also good for them is they have a really strong personality and Pretty Deadly, and they can kind of bounce off of that a little bit, because I think Pretty Deadly kind of compensates for what the Creed Brothers are lacking just a little bit, and they can kind of cover up for it.
We'll see.
Because they're just obnoxious.
They are.
Well, and it's also going to be interesting to see how this carries forward with the Diamond Mine of, like, is it one of those, like, as soon as you lose, you're out kind of mentalities that Roddy's going to instill, or...
I don't know. I think the Diamond Mine is on its way out. I'm going to be completely honest. Yeah. Like, I don't imploding. Think it's going to last.
I feel like the Creeds are going to turn on Roderick on Tuesday, or in a coming Tuesday.
Because it's kind of at this point DOA, and without Bivens, it just... No offense to Roddy, but Roddy just can't carry it.
Roddy was the single star. He wasn't meant to be, like, the guy for it.
Yeah.
All right, your main event, NXT Championship on the line, Bron Breakker, Joe Gacy. This was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
I wanted Gacy to win.
They worked.
Wanted chaos.
They worked their ass off. Gacy.
We had an Eddie spot.
We had the Eddie spot, yeah.
That was...
Also, Breakker doing the flip dive over the outside, pretty impressive. And then Gacy,
a big guy can do something like that. It's like, kudos.
And then Gacy taking the spear through the table.
Mm-hmm.
This was a match of the night.
Yeah, I'd give it that.
I mean, I will give Dollar Store Bray Wyatt all the credit in the world. He rolled up.
Lindsay, I don't know what you're talking about, Dollar Store Bray Wyatt. I mean, he doesn't have anything that he does out of the corner that's freaky. He doesn't, you know, have weird people following him. I just don't see it.
I will say that table spot looked like it hurt.
Oh, yeah, bounced.
That was pain and regret.
you saw him grab his back right away.
He's like, ow.
It was like, that hurts a lot.
I like the chemistry. Like, I've really actually liked this feud. I think it's done wonders for Braun. Because, again, you have such a strong personality in Dollar Store Bray Wyatt, and he's doing a lot with it, that Braun is able to react, and it's a little bit easier for Braun to react accordingly. Because you have very clear defined roles in this.
And it also shows that he can play any type of role.
Yeah.
The one thing I like about this is, coming out of this feud, I don't think it hurts Gacy at all, because he's someone that's just there to sow chaos. He's there to essentially decentralize NXT and fill that void.
But you have to be careful with that, because that's what hurt Bray.
Yeah.
Is Bray was there to sow chaos, and Bray could take losses until he couldn't, because in the end they're doing something very similar that they did to Bray, which is that Bray could not win the big match. He could never do that. Every time Bray was in a big match situation, except that one time at Elimination Chamber,
I was there,
he lost. Like, it was almost a guarantee that when Bray Wyatt was going to go for a title, or he was in a big match situation, or it was WrestleMania, he was going to lose. It was inevitable. And that haunted him, because what that did is that hurt his mystique, and it hurt his fear factor. Because it's like, well, why should I be afraid of you? I can beat you. Mm-hmm. Everybody else has. Mm-hmm. You're not scary. You're just sitting here spinning words. So they have to be very careful with Dollar Store version of Bray Wyatt, because you don't want to hurt the mystique that you're building around him. You want him to be able to succeed at some point and beat somebody, whether that's your Bron Breakker or whether that's somebody else. You need to have him win at some point in a big match situation. He needs to be able to do it multiple times to prove that it's not a fluke. Otherwise, he's going to be dead in the water. Because everybody will look at him and be like, well, it doesn't matter, because we're going to go for the big match and you're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
You're not scary, and I'm not going to listen to you.
The other question coming out of all of this is, as I always like to ask on something like this, who's next for Braun? There's not really a clear, defined top heel.
No, but you can go with D'Angelo. You can go with Escobar.
See, I don't think you can go Escobar because he's under D'Angelo now. So it's going to be, like, if anything, Tony, but I just don't think Tony's ready for a prime run.
I don't know.
I definitely don't think it's Von Wagner.
No.
No.
No, I think it's going to be probably Tony. They're going to probably build to that at some point. It makes the most sense based on who's down there. But we'll see.
We will see. So I think that does it for us. What do y'all think?
It does. So here's what's going to happen, chat. We're going to wrap this up, and then we're going to come right back live. The stream's not going anywhere. But we're going to come back and just recklessly talk about Fortnite. That's the plan leading up to CB Radio at the top of the hour. That sound cool? Cool. Speaking of, CB Radio is live at midnight-ish tonight. We have a Fortnite tier list. Go to greaterthangreatdebate.com and vote. Sunday night, WrestleTalk Radio is reviewing Hell in a Cell round 11. Once the show's over, they'll be live. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. The Rack is live, 10 p.m. Eastern. As we'll review Hell in a Cell, you can check out the Rack Extra Reviews Ms. and Mrs. Episode 1 and 2. They'll be available on Monday once those episodes air, 11:30 and midnight. So those two will drop. So there's all of that. Ask the Rack, 623-22. We'll take your questions. Tweet them at Wild Talk Radio. Media at wildtalkradio.com is email. You can tweet us questions for the show. We'll answer anything except politics.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the deal on that. To Rack Radio Show.
And certain personal questions.
Yep. That's a given.
Rock, what's your bank account?
1111111. Anyway. With 222 as the pin. It's at Wild Talk Radio Show on all social media platforms, wherever you get your podcasts. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have that Amazon Prime link, it's your Twitch account. It's called Prime Game. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle in the button below the screen. The new season of Fortnite Battle Royale, the Ultimate Battle Royale experience, starts in about 6-7 hours. Use creator code RocketSock or
Lynn's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store when you buy your battle passes. Why? Because
we are hashtag Epic Partners. Brent, you want to tweet your stuff?
Sure. I tend to make friends on Twitter at Kane Kittens, you know, having very logical conversations with people about certain choices that they may or may not be making. So you can find me there. You can also hear me, well, immediately after this, and then later on tonight, CB Radio, the Intern's Corner.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD. I will be live tomorrow on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward, for the brand new season of Fortnite, whenever it's available. So tune in for that. Follow me on Twitter to get notified of when I'm going live. And you can use the creator code because I'm a hashtag Epic Partner. Also, don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211, for all of Matt's amazing content. So we are going to take a very brief, and I do mean brief, intermission. So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're listening to the podcast of this, I hope you have a great one, and it's a positive one. For Rock, for Brent, for me, this has been The Rack, or not even The Rack Extra, The Rack, right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we'll see you later. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.